President Donald Trump is back in the White House following a four-day state trip to Japan. What did he accomplish? For that, HPR's news director Bill Dorman joins us live. Morning.
Morning, Catherine. You know, it's an interesting time right now in leadership relations between the United States and Japan. President Trump, Prime Minister Shinzo Abe, meeting face-to-face three times within the space of 3 months. The first was when Abe came to Washington at the end of April. President Trump's visit over the last several days is the second. And then at the end of next month, the president's going back to Japan as part of the G20 Leaders Summit. Now, going into this, most people who watch this relationship had pretty modest expectations for this particular trip. I think it's fair to say those expectations were met in a modest way. It's interesting to see Abe's approach with Trump. He was the first foreign leader to meet with Trump after the election. He was the first guest at Mar-a-Lago. They're golf buddies. They're in touch a lot. But some in Japan say that he hasn't gotten that much out of the close personal relationship. On this trip, a big focus seemingly on keeping the president entertained, some almost bright, shiny objects. President Trump, the first foreign leader to greet the new emperor and empress in a state visit, a state banquet. Earlier, he went to the last day of a sumo tournament, presented a custom-made huge president's cup. And the two leaders had some symbolic photo opportunities relating to the military alliance. They went to the largest ship in the fleet of the Japanese Maritime Self-Defense Force, the Kaga. It's a helicopter carrier. Japan doesn't have any aircraft carriers, but there are plans to further adapt this ship to handle new stealth fighters, which are made in the USA.
As you know, Japan recently announced its intent to purchase 105 brand new stealth F-35 fighter aircraft, the best in the world. This purchase would give Japan the largest fleet of F-35s of any of our allies. And soon this very ship will be upgraded to carry that cutting edge aircraft. With this extraordinary new equipment, the JS Kaga will help our nations defend against a range of complex threats in the region and far beyond. I want to thank my friend and your Prime Minister, he's an extraordinary man, for his commitment to improving Japan's defense capabilities, which also advances the security of the United States of America.
Now, word of this planned purchase wasn't really anything new. It was part of the Japanese government budget plans that came out in December. The price tag in the Japanese media that came out at that point was more than $9 billion U.S. dollars. Specifics depend on some modifications on how much they modify, how many of those. But the photo opportunity at the Yokosuka Naval Base was symbolic. The president called it the only port in the world where an American naval fleet and an allied naval fleet are headquartered side by side. And then just after that, on board the USS Wasp, President Trump talked about the evolution not only of that particular ship, but also of military cooperation and coordination with regional allies.
Last year, USS Wasp made history when it became the very first ship to deploy these cutting-edge aircraft. In April, USS Wasp also became the first ship to deploy F-35Bs in the Balikantan naval exercise with the Philippines and with Australia. Later this year, the USS Wasp returns home. We will be sending the men and women of the 7th Fleet our most formidable amphibious assault ship, USS America. USS America will soon be sailing these Pacific waters, and I'm pleased to say that she will also be carrying the most beautiful F-35Bs on her deck, brand new.
Now, that nod to sort of the idea of regional cooperation and militaries beyond Japan as well, from time to time, and we report on them, the naval exercises that are shared among allies, some larger scale, some smaller scale, but they're constant and they're moving through. That, in terms of, again, the symbolism of this visit was underlining that. But again, definitely differences. Again, the security alliance is firm and is strong, but on North Korea in particular, there are differences. The president, again, sort of downplaying North Korea's recent short-term missile launch. And Prime Minister Abe pointedly saying, yes, it was a violation of UN provisions, and how much of a provocation that was, Interesting on North Korea, one side bit of news that the Japanese media is focusing on a bit more. Prime Minister Abe planning to set up a talk with Kim Jong-un, one-on-one meeting. Japan has sort of a, you know, talk about fear of being left out, fear of missing out. On the talks with North Korea, Japan very much wants to be part of this process. Japanese civilians who were kidnapped by North Koreans, the abductee issue, very much important in terms of Japan domestic politically. And Prime Minister Abe always brings that up. And President Trump, for the second time, has visited with, on this trip, with families of those abducted. Again, in terms of areas that there are still disagreement, though, bilateral trade. You know, the president talked about, well, they're working on a trade deal. There's going to be close. The Japanese officials, it was interesting, were really quiet on this, just sort of, yes, we're working, but they don't have great expectations in terms of producing some blockbuster deal.
But we were hearing a lot about the hand-wringing, and then I think there was word that, oh, well, they'll have another 6 months to work something out.
Definitely. And there has been over time, you know, whenever President Trump brings up trade deficits, he does sort of focus on those relentlessly, and certainly with China. But with Japan, they are still quite sizable, especially in the goods area, about a $60 billion trade deficit with Japan in goods. And the majority of that is auto and auto parts. It's nothing new. But you're starting to hear also a little bit of almost a tone of resentment from the corporate side. Chairman of Toyota, who's also the head of the Automobile Manufacturers Association in Japan, made an interesting point. He said that we're dismayed to hear a message suggesting our long-term contributions of investment and employment in the U.S. are not welcomed. As chairman, I'm deeply saddened by this. And again, if you recall back in the 80s when there was the initial trade gap of autos, auto parts coming to the U.S., a lot of Japanese firms established factories, transplant factories, so-called, in the United States. And those right now, the Japan Automobile Manufacturers Association says, Japan's auto industry has 24 factories, 45 research and development design centers, and 39 distribution centers in 28 states.
Wow,
across the country. And again, you talked about the hand-wringing. Back in March, Toyota said, on top of the $10 billion it had committed to new spending plans in the U.S., it was adding $3 billion. I would not be surprised if you see more commitments from Japanese automakers to do more in the U.S. But again, that the temptation to call for a great and grand, miraculous trade breakthrough, that's still a little cautious.
Yeah, so it seems like the expectations were kind of low for this trip.
Certainly for those who have been watching this, and we'll see about G20, but the big headline there is going to be Xi Jinping coming from China, first Chinese leader to set foot in Japan in more than a decade.
Okay, well, we'll see what happens there. All right, but thanks so much, Bill.
You bet.
We have been talking with HPR's news director, Bill Dorman, about President Donald Trump's 4-day trip to Japan and what it all means.